You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, I have in my hand here, you'll have to use your imagination a bit. I have in my hand here Phil Edmonston's Lemonade New Cars and Trucks Guide for 2013, hot off the press. 1.8 million copies sold. And the guy who's responsible for all of this is on the line now, Phil Edmonston. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how you doing?
Not so bad. Congratulations on your latest here. I'm looking at it and have managed to scan a number of different sections in there. Can you first off give us a little bit of information on whether or not 2013 will be, in fact, a good time to be looking for a new car or truck?
Well, I think it will be a much better time, mainly because there's a lot more competition. The Japanese now have gotten back online after a series of natural disasters, and the American car manufacturers are not getting all that much help from government and elsewhere, so they have to really bring down their prices. Now, they've done fairly well. Big surprise, though, is that Ford, which was the really poster child for, hey, we didn't take any bailout, and we're number one in quality. Well, not really, not any longer. If you look at the latest reports, the Consumer Reports and elsewhere, Ford's quality continues to fall, and the Japanese brands are beginning to stay on the top of the list. Even Toyota, with all of its, unintended sudden acceleration and brake problems, it still has regained a lot of its market share, and it's still giving out a lot of rebates because it wants to keep that market share this year. So you got competition, more vehicles, better quality, and some of the GM vehicles like the Tahoe and Yukon are a bit better than before. These are huge SUVs.
Yeah, great, huge things, yeah.
And you know, an interesting phenomenon, Bill, is that as I was researching the Lemonade New Car Guide this year, I was curious to see where the pattern of buyers is falling. And it, as soon as the price of fuel goes down, let me just say a barrel of oil goes from, let's say, $99 or $100 down to, say, $85, $86, $87, where it is now, that's a heck of a shot in the arm for the big vehicles and the trucks and the SUVs. Yeah. And the hybrids and electric cars are kind of left in the back lot. And then the reverse happens. So it's kind of hard for the auto industry to
stay ahead of that.
What's going to go on?
How do you stay? How do you guess and stay ahead of that? It's very difficult. So then, what looks good for 20? If you're in the market for something, give us a couple of examples of what looks good in 2013.
Well, you know, I would say that the vehicles that look good really in 2013 and have been changed or been improved. The BMWs have really improved their reliability. I'm talking about the 1 Series, the 5 Series, the X5. Done well. The Buick, Buick Enclave, Buick Regal, very good. Chevrolet Cruze, a lot of competition here where family cars or small or compact cars. The Cruze seems to be taking up that market. The Chevrolet Silverado and Ford Silverado have both come up and being less trucks and much more of like a portable office that you have everything, including, and this is the craziest thing with Ford, which has really made their, in my book this year, as well as in some other guys, I think, go down in quality and in ratings, is that they've got this infotainment. You talk to the car, and it talks back to you.
Oh, really? It does.
It, well, it may play out a scene like we remember in, Kubrick's Space Odyssey, where Hal was trying to kill the astronaut.
What are you doing, Hal?
Well, these cars, these cars have bizarre characteristics and problems, and Ford says they're working on it.
You see, very good.
If they find out what the virus is on Thursday.
What about the electric rolling stock out there? For example, I give you as an example the Chevy Volt.
It's holding its own, but only with the subsidies of the American and Canadian government. What has happened is that when you're talking about $40,000 plus, and even though they did cut the price on the Volt by almost $10,000, owners are telling me, in Canada, also in the States, they're not seeing this at the dealerships. And overall, there's been a number of studies as to the return on investment, ROA, the amount of money that you put in a vehicle to save gas really is far beyond what gas you would save. And it's not just the Volt or the Leaf, but the Leaf a bit less, but also with the hybrid cars, the Prius. Oh, by the way, the Prius is still the little darling of Consumer Reports, but every place else I look, the Prius is an ordinary car that if you're lucky, you can save some fuel, you can save some money, but overall you're still going to be a captive of the dealership, and if something goes wrong, God forbid, it's probably going to be electrical. Bubba and Jimbo and the guys over down in Arkansas or Southern Ontario,
they won't know what to do.
What about
hybrids themselves? Are you a little more accepting of the hybrid itself, or you still kind of skeptical?
I think the hybrid is a vehicle in transition. I think we're probably going to be moving completely to electrics, and not before we get better batteries to hold a stronger charge. In the meantime, the car companies, Ford and GM and Chrysler, whatever they call it, EcoBoost or Superpower, they're supercharging their energy, or they're turbocharging vehicles, making them much lighter. They're also making better steering assemblies. They're lighter and better geared to normal driving. And this is giving them almost as much fuel economy as the hybrids of about the famous 50 mile general rating of 50 miles per gallon on combined city and highway. But right now, they're catching up. They really are, without doing a whole lot of major changes. So I think this is going to continue. And then you know what we're going to see? We're going to see a lot of the diesel, the small diesels coming in from Europe. And that's a good idea because they've been tested. They've been, you know, tried and proven on the European streets, and they should do okay here in Canada.
I drove a Volkswagen diesel, a small one in France not that long ago. They really aren't the diesel. It's not our grandfather's diesel, if you know what I mean.
No, you're exactly right. Like, just like the Malibu today is not your grandfather's Malibu.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, front drive and all that. But the diesel is actually, they're much perkier. You don't have the diesel smell necessarily. Yeah. You save on fuel and so forth. Big problem with most of the Volkswagens, and I've said this in my lemonade guides for years, after 3, 4, 5 years, electronics, electrical system, they're hell to troubleshoot unless you go over to the dealer. And many dealers, many repairers, feel that their software readers and machines are proprietary, and too bad. If you want to know what those codes mean, you better come to us.
Right.
And that really is pretty much like a restraint of trade, although they haven't been charged with anything yet.
The day will come, that'll happen, won't it? There'll be some kind of challenge anyway.
Well, I think so, because dealers are losing business hands over fist by the independent garages. Many of the garages are offering, and I recommend this in my book this year, is that they are offering brake guarantees. If you pay a little bit more for your brakes, they will guarantee that particular braking system for as long as you have the car. Now, some cars are harder on brakes. I would say the Mustang, some of the heavier SUVs. And you want to have that extra warranty because, in the long run, it'll save you a lot of money because the original equipment brakes are just not that robust.
You were talking a few moments ago about gas mileage claims. Talk a bit about the soup that Hyundai and Kia got into in terms of those overly positive gas mileage predictions, to say the least.
Oh my God! You know, I remember Toyota when they had, oh, what a feeling was there.
Yeah, right.
But it was their slogan. Well, I think with Kia and Hyundai, which are essentially the same company, their slogan should be henceforth, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't know if that's going to sell on a billboard or anything. You know what I mean?
Well, I think Ford and GM would buy a couple of billboards. But no. Here's what happens. The Environmental Protection Agency is actually in the States, in Canada, defers to them most of the time. Only check out about 15% of the vehicles actually the readouts that the manufacturers send over to them. And
to check out the claims, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't do 100%.
Right.
But usually they get whistleblowers from the other companies.
Right.
And other people say, hey, man, okay, we play by the rules, but you should check out those
free.
Now, the funny thing is that when you're a car columnist or consumer advocate, as long as we have been, we've got long memories. And exactly a decade ago, they got into trouble by Environment Canada had found that the horsepower, Hyundai and Kia, that they were giving on their vehicles, 140 horses, they had only 135. Well, that's not terrible, but it's a lie. And they said that it was due to the reorganization of the company or something or another. And they were forced to not give money back, but they did offer some discounts, I believe. But it was nice to see the Canadian government, our government, was doing something. But this time they got tripped up by the U.S. Department of Transportation. And there may be some fines, some hefty fines coming down the road.
Well, how exaggerated were the claims?
Well, generally between 5 and 7%, although the Kia Soul, which I think was approximately, I think they were claiming 40 miles to the gallon plus, they'd said that the difference was about 6 miles to the gallon. Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
I think, yeah. And for a while, Hyundai and Kia were saying, we've got the biggest stable of cars with 40 mile per gallon combined. Now they've kind of backed away from that because they're hunkering down. They don't know what other shoe is going to fall, but it hasn't hurt their reputation in the extent that people like, number one, low prices when they buy a car.
Right.
Number two, they like the performance and the style. And way down there is safety, about 4 or 5, and fuel economy. It's not the number one thing. You're going to see a lot of trucks and a lot of fully loaded SUVs being sold in the next coming months because people have seen fuel prices go down, even if it's just a little bit.
Prices and style, and the fact, well, they like, people like the style because Hyundai got all the best designers from Toyota, didn't it?
yeah. Not only that, but they got the quality control engineers from Toyota just before Toyota had started getting all those unintended acceleration and brake problems. And Hyundai sent them a lawyer's letter. This was about a decade ago, saying, the guys that you hired, they had some documents with them, did they not? Would you send us those? Sure.
Exactly.
Well, we didn't read them.
We didn't read them. We knew where they were, but we didn't read them. Absolutely not.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Phil Edmonston is my guest, singing that song right now for you here on Zoomer Radio.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
If you've got a question for Phil Edmonston, give us a call right now at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. And here is Richard on the line from Toronto. Richard, do you have a question?
Good afternoon, Dale.
Hi.
Yes, I was listening to Phil, and there's been this thing about Toyota and unintended acceleration. I do know that the U.S. government checked them, and they found nothing wrong with the cars. In fact, three of them was the fault of the drivers, with the mats catching up with the pedal. Personally, I like the GM out of all the U.S. cars. I think Ford has suspect in the quality of their parts.
Do you have a question, Richard?
Yeah.
Why don't you get to it?
I still like the Japanese cars. Don't you think they're a better deal? The Germans are too complex with their electronics.
Okay. What? How would you rate the Japanese cars vis-a-vis the other ones, Phil?
Well, first of all, I'm glad this man doesn't write lemonade guides because I don't want the competition. He's pretty well on target. No, the Japanese cars are fine, but the South Koreans have done the Japanese one better. They've as the Japanese had pretty well produced replicas of the American cars, but with additional quality. The South Koreans have done the same things to the Japanese now, where they have very good quality vehicles at cheaper prices. So I would say take a look at the Japanese if you really want a particular brand. Toyota, Subaru, Honda with a Fit is probably one of the better vehicles on the market. You can get some good buys with a Honda Civic. They've improved it this year. Last year it got a big lemon rating, mainly because they had taken some of the content out, most people agree. But you can shop around with the Japanese, but also take a look at some of the, like, I have a Tucson from Hyundai, and I find it pretty well good for my, you know, not a big SUV, very small. But it's enough. And don't buy more car than you need, and don't get freaked out by the fuel charges. You know, if you buy a vehicle for this year rather than buying the latest one, but if you buy one for 2012, you can save about a couple $1,000 easy on the increased price because you're not having the 213 increased price. Plus, you don't have to pay as much in the delivery charge, which usually is about $2,000. You can knock that down by about half.
Yeah.
And overall, your insurance will cost less because you're not buying the latest model car. But it's a new car with a new warranty, but they're going to be discounting. Boy, are they going to get to wait until end of November, December, and January. Yeah. They are going to be really offering some good deals.
Okay. Richard, thanks very much. For your question, are you still getting reports, Phil, about mice and rats eating certain parts of certain cars?
Oh yeah, certain
the
cars
wiring
are
harness?
like rolling Tim Hortons. I mean, they go right for the soya covered wiring. Now this is wonderful. Me and my NDP brethren, we wanted to have environmentally friendly car components. I'm not talking about premature rusting like Ford had in the late 60s, but just
or biodegradable brakes. You're not talking about that.
Biodegradable. Yeah. That's right. and well, these soya covered wiring assemblies are very nice, but the thing here is that rodents they chew on them and they enjoy them, obviously. And some car companies have taken steps to provide a barrier, a gate kind of barrier, or just a design so that they just cannot get in the car. And a lot of other companies haven't, and it's got nothing to do with how much you pay for the car.
Well, isn't that an opening for some kind of option, like mouse traps inside the car, built in, something like that?
They don't want. You go to the dealership. I've done this. You go to the dealership and say, "Okay, now, all right, you've got the horsepower.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Safety seats, everything. Okay, what about mice?" What do you mean? What about mice? And, yeah, is it mouse proof? And you know, it's hard to know unless you check the consumer complaints at the Department of Transportation. They've got thousands of complaints, and you can see it. But I mean, having this on an Audi, and by the way, you're not talking about just, well, I got to replace a wire here or there. You're talking about thousands of dollars worth of damage that can be caused.
Well, this would be the whole harness with all the wires in it, right?
Yeah. Plus, some of the people I've talked with, women and men, say that they don't necessarily want to have a riding companion that was uninvited.
No, exactly.
So that's all that to consider. But they're going to get to it if I keep on going on the radio shows denouncing the problem.
Well, apparently, and this would be common to a lot of cars, not just one.
Oh yeah, it's not new. But you know, the way cars are designed nowadays, look, whatever happened to our side vent window?
Keep going on about that. Yeah, you liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked it, you know, but air conditioning, I guess they want to sell and so forth.
Yeah.
But there's lots of things nowadays with cars you've got to be very, very suspicious of, even the head restraints. This is a big complaint this year has been the government imposed about 2 years ago, requirements, the head restraints, protect you more on the whiplash injuries. Well, some companies, Audi and others, really did good. You know, a nice engineering, German engineering, the way they do it. Other companies just simply put the head restraints further forward and tilted them down. So you're
That's
driving,
right.
A lot of seniors like myself, you're driving with your darn chin in your chest.
You said in the book they were designed by the Marquis de Sade.
Well, yeah, but I think he's going over to Chrysler.
Okay.
You know,
well, there you go. Here's Richard from Thornhill. Richard, do you have a question for Phil?
Yeah, I do. I just wondered if he'd heard anything about the difference between the speedometers on the vehicles and the speed that the GPS registers.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Big differentials. And lots of the speedometers, particularly it seems the digital ones nowadays, not only do they get bled out, you can't read them that easily with in daylight, but there is a difference with the GPS as well as with the speedometer on its own sake. There is a tolerance. I'm not quite sure what it was, but there was a tolerance that they could have a certain amount of inaccuracy. But I don't know. I think it's just something you just have to get used to. But there's a warranty question here as well, though, because
that's right, yeah.
Your warranty will be up earlier if this is a problem where they clock more mileage than you've actually done.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any lawsuits. I haven't seen anything in the press where they're trying to work on it. I just think people say, oh, what the hell, it's just part and parcel of buying a car.
Yeah.
It also applies to somebody that's leasing a vehicle.
Well, sure, yeah. More so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, with something like that, before the lease is over, I would have it clocked by one of the, any garage or any testing agency that has a dynamometer where the, you know, the wheels are actually turned, they can tell you. I would put it on there. I'd say, whoa, wow, so I've got supposedly 40,000 kilometers. Well, let me take off percentage.
Exactly.
And that'll make it worth your while.
Save you money. Thanks, Richard, very much. Here's Leonard from St. Catharines. Leonard, you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick question. Has Mr. Edmondson, have you heard or read any items with regard to the performance and reliability of the Buick Verano?
Yeah, I did, and it was interesting because I was looking through the latest copy, which is coming out in December 2012, of Consumer Reports. I was on the board of Consumers Union, so I get a lot of my copies early.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. They downrated some of the not recommended cars with declining reliability that they right now are saying below average. The Buick Verano and the Buick LaCrosse have gone down, and they're not recommended. And the same thing, the Mercedes M-Class and the Dodge Charger and the Chrysler 300, all in that area where, and the Ford Edge, by the way, Ford Edge and the Focus have really gone down. It was like they were Jekyll and Hyde. At first they were Mr. Hyde in 2000, they got into Dr. Jekyll kind of better, and then now they've turned back to Mr. Hyde.
Well, were some of those downratings the result of poor performance? Is that what you read?
Poor performance.
That's what Leonard is saying.
Early quality
problems
as well, but mostly performance, the fuel economy, not what it suggests. And Ford going over to a what they call EcoBoost, which is the turbocharged models, and they're not working in unison. They're not synergistic with other components in the cars, and that seems to be the same thing with some other vehicles, like Chrysler with its new six-cylinder Pentastar engine. So,
yeah.
Choose your poison here. It's unfortunate. I would not buy the Verano until another year passes and we can see if this is...
Maybe they can fix it, yeah. Leonard, thanks very much for the call. Well, you talk about this EcoBoost thing. What about the other button in some models where you press the button and it makes the car magically run more economically? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this is what they call... Well, there are many ways that they do this.
Yeah.
But of course, one of the easiest ways that they do this is they call it cylinder deactivation.
Yeah.
If you have a six-cylinder vehicle, if you're if you don't need the vehicle to be under that much power, they'll just cut off the other three cylinders. And it does work. It's much better than when Cadillac, 4.68 they had years ago, probably three decades ago or more. And the problem was that it would give you four cylinders when you needed eight, and eight when you were in the city. So they quickly dropped that like a hot potato.
Yeah.
But now the Japanese and Europeans doing it. So they got cylinder deactivation, which seems to be fairly good. The other things are mostly what they do as to how the engine is tuned. Most of that other part is more just an electronic the twisting or turning, changing things here and there.
But if you go in for cylinder deactivation as a way to save gas, does that do anything long term to the engine that's suddenly running on half the cylinders or anything like that?
No, actually, that's one of the things. No, it's fine. It shuts them down. They've also got many of these cars that will shut down when you're stopped at a light.
And yeah.
Oh, my God. Why? But so far, the complaints are not coming in on that aspect of it. Where the complaints are coming in, Dale, are when fuel-saving complaints, are the electric steering. Rather than the steering running off of your fan belt, you know, and it drives your steering. Now they've got it as a whole electrical setup, which really removes the pulleys and a lot of the heavy engine drag and so forth. But they're creating their own problems because they're so new. So that's the kind of thing that you're trying to do what's right for the environment and saving fuel. But one solution creates another problem.
Okay. I had a 47 Studebaker that stopped when I pulled up to a light, too, but that was a different kind of story.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
$12.49, Phil Edmonston is here answering your car questions. Here's Ralph from Toronto. Ralph, what's your question?
Hello, Phil. Tell me, Phil, before coming to Canada, I was in the Caribbean, and the firm I worked for imported the Borgward, a German car.
It was a
beautiful car, no clutch, but you could change gears and everything. But I came to Canada, I saw one or two, and now they just don't seem to be anywhere around any longer.
What happened to them, Phil? Thanks, Ralph.
Well, they were taken off the market, just like a lot of other vehicles at the time. They were really looking at economy, number one. And when you had the economy because of fuel shortages, you had a lot of new vehicles coming on the market that really weren't ready for it or didn't have the support of the whole market.
Yeah.
That's what happened with a lot of the European vehicles. Peugeot and Renault, Renault here in Canada bit the dust. They had some fairly good cars, but they weren't supported by an acceptable dealer body. And when they teamed up with American Motors, it even got worse. American Motors was a pretty good firm. I liked some of their vehicles. But it's very typical of how fragile the European market is when they're dealing with trends. They're usually not that trendy in one sense or the other of trying to make vehicles which will just catch the spirit of the moment. They're more traditional and driver's cars and fully loaded luxury vehicles, or they're very bare bones, small cars. Volkswagen probably has been the most successful.
All right. Thanks very much for that question. Here's Warren from Scarborough. Warren, what's your question?
Good afternoon, Dale and Phil. There's currently a video floating around on the Internet about a hover car in China that Volkswagen's supposed to be looking into. Now, they show a working model, which apparently they don't really have. It's trick photography. The concept is that it's supposed to run on an electromagnetic field. Have you heard anything about this?
I haven't. The latest thing that I've seen was really the Volvo thing, and this wasn't trick photography, but it was the driverless cars. Maybe you'd seen something in the press, but where they would get behind in a convoy, this one car, there's this big truck, and it would have a Wi-Fi thing that would be connected to your engine through Wi-Fi, and you're in a convoy, and that's it. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that if you have to go, you know,
you can't pull over.
Well, this one shows
No, I think they give you a used tennis ball canister. I don't know what they do,
yeah.
but the thing is that it just some. If you read Popular Mechanics enough or Automotive News, every year you see answers to questions you never asked.
Yeah,
you know, this one looks like, it looks like a big wheel that floats above the ground with its two people can drive it.
Oh yeah,
but well, it's a flying saucer.
It stops automatically when there's going to be a collision, and you know it's just a concept apparently.
I guess.
I'll send Dale the video and he can have a look at it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Warren. Here's Dorothy from Beaton. Dorothy, do you have a question?
Yes, I do, Dale. I've never called a talk show before, but I'd like to ask a question of Phil.
He's right here.
I just bought a Kia Sportage.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And very nice. And but the thing is, there's a sticker on the inside, and it says July 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've bought it as a 2013. Is it a... Would that be a 2013 built in 2012?
Yeah, it should be. They used to not Kia, but it was principally the other Japanese. I'm trying to think. I think it was Honda, Nissan, or some others.
Uh-huh.
But they would sell last year's as we would call it redating and as this year's model, and we made them stop it.
Yeah.
And up to now, I haven't seen them doing it. But when you get up to July and August, you're really dealing with...
You feel that it's a 2013.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I think so. And overall, the only problem is that on some cars, it haven't changed much from one year to the next. It's kind of disturbing.
Well, when I went to buy this car in the first place, I wanted to get the 2012, as you say, to get it a little cheaper. But I ended up getting the 2013 because it didn't have any.
Yeah.
They didn't have any anyway.
No. They're highly in demand. They're pretty good vehicles. And overall, I think you made a good buy. I haven't had a single complaint yet of them. Well, here we are. We're Hyundai and Kia. Wow. Well, just stay tuned. We don't know.
So far, so good.
I do know. I don't think they're doing this.
Yeah, well, so far, so good. I've only had it a couple of weeks.
Oh, well,
really?
That's good.
You like it, right?
I do.
All right, thank you, Dorothy.
So far, so good, as I say. I have not had any complaints on it.
Well, let's hope it lasts
a big
longer than 2 weeks. Yeah.
Compared to what I'm used to.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Dorothy. Here's Sonny on his cell phone. Sonny, do you have a question for Phil?
Yeah, I just like to address, seeing that cars are sold now for on 84-month basis and, you know, very long leases.
Yeah.
Does the car really have the lifespan?
All right, that's a good question. Go ahead.
A lot of them, but mostly the Japanese do. You know that the Americans, it's a mixed bag because some do and some don't.
Yeah.
I would say that if you were to get any of the General Motors rear drive vehicles, they're pretty good. Same thing with Ford, or if you find a Chrysler around, new or used. The rear drive has always been much more reliable than the front drive with the American models. European cars are, I think, risky buys because they're highly dependent upon a good dealer network. And the more you get out of the city, the fewer dealers you find. So you have to really check out the dealer before you check out the car, particularly if you're going to keep a vehicle beyond the average in Canada. Now, you know, the average in Canada is about 11 years. And you multiply that by 20,000 kilometers a year, which is the average mileage. So you're talking over 200, maybe about 250 more thousand kilometers people are keeping their vehicles. And you can keep them up to 15, even 20 years.
Yeah.
But you've got to choose the right one to begin with.
And you got to look after it.
Yeah, and look, as an author, I promote my Lemonade Car Guides. You can get them in the bookstores, but you can also get them for free at the local library.
Mm.
You can photocopy the pages and just find out what cars are the best for you and the cheapest. And by the way, this year I put in the American price, and the Canadian price oftentimes is about 10 to 15% higher in Canada.
Yeah.
So that when you go to the dealer and you say, "Hey, Joe, what are you doing to me? I'm a paisano. I'm a Canadian."
Do you have to affect an Italian accent in order to get this?
Well, it helps.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay.
It helps.
All right. Here's one last quick question from Gwen in St. Thomas. Gwen, I'm almost out of time, but go ahead, please.
Hi. A quick question. I'm just interested in a hardtop convertible, particularly a used EOS.
EOS?
A used what?
It's a used EOS convertible, and it's the hardtop.
Do you know what that is, Phil?
No, I thought you had said Miata. I don't know.
No, EOS. How are you spelling?
It's a Volkswagen.
Oh.
And it has the hard top, and it retracts back just like a soft top.
Oh.
And it comes forward like a hard top.
Oh, yeah. The VW EOS, yes.
Oh, okay. What about that, Phil?
It's fairly good. It's a nicely styled. The complaints don't come in before about the fourth or fifth year, and then they're really the dealer's responsibility because you can't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dependent. Are you downtown? Are you in the city?
No, I'm out in St. Thomas.
Do you have a good choice of VW dealers?
There's two in London.
All right.
We've
looked at
them on the Auto Trader, and there seems to be a larger selection there than you find at a dealer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that
a good sign or a bad sign, though, that there are a lot of them on Auto Trader? I don't know.
Not really, because it's all a question of volume as well as were people trying to get rid of the vehicles. But overall, I would say that... I wouldn't be afraid to get into it.
It's a go, then, is it?
Off of the price.
Okay.
You should.
Phil, I'm out of time. It's a go, right? It's a go. It's a go?
It's a go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gwen. Phil, thank you very much once again for joining us. It's always an enjoyable and informative, may I say, experience.
All right. Now, I'll look out for your first car there. What was it? It had I Like Ike, right?
47 Studebaker. I told you that. I've told you. Yeah, I know. What a car. What a treasure. Got to go.
Okay.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. It's Phil Edmonston, the auto, the Lemonade author and auto guru. His latest book is just out, Lemonade 2013, the New Cars and Trucks Guide.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.